Praise God. I want to charge you to be passionate about the God you serve. Amen. Be passionate. Be passionate about the God you serve. You are serving the real God. Be passionate about it. Where I come from, like Pastor was saying, is either you are passionate about God or you get killed just like that. You know, our church has been burnt before. Our property has been burnt before. But the thing about God is, if they take your mat from you, God will give you a mattress. That's one about God. If they take your mat from you, God will give you a mattress. So, through it all, the church is better off for it. We are stronger for it. And as we grow, we realize that we just can't allow people to push us around. We must take our stand. Hallelujah. We must take our stand. I was on the bus yesterday. We were going somewhere, and a fellow came in, and he switched on his phone, and it was a Quranic recitation. Just going on in the bus, you know, and somehow it registered in me that people that don't serve the real God, sometimes they are bolder about what they do than we who serve the real God. Just switch it on. Just went on. I just looked at him, and he didn't really bother. Be passionate about the God you serve. Anywhere. Don't hide who you are. Are you a Christian? Are you born again? Just trying to just go once in a while. No. I am. I am a Christian. I'm born again. Are you among those two that do those speaking in tongues things? Yes, I am. Be passionate. Be passionate. The world is looking for people who are passionate about what they believe in. Be passionate about what you believe in. It will amaze you that the next door person you think may be uncomfortable about what you are doing is actually looking for it to manifest from you, to amaze you. Be passionate about it. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 2. I want to preach about something I call survival in Jericho. Survival in Jericho. This month is our month of relationships. We're talking about relationships from various dimensions. Joshua chapter 2. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 2. It's your turn for a testimony. Yeah. It is your turn for a testimony. Yeah. Now, you see, I'm not just saying this to make you happy. I'm telling you, it's your turn for a testimony. Yeah. This month will not pass without you testifying. Amen. Are you hearing me now? You will have a testimony. That's why God arranged it that I should be here. I'm not just here to fill space. God sent me here. Hallelujah. Joshua 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, what? Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Hallelujah. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country. Can you read verse 4 for me? Yes. Read on, verse 5. Read verse 6 again. Go ahead. Yes. Yes. Read verse 7. Hallelujah. Now, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto them, I know that the Lord had given you the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed, and so on. Verse 12, now I therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show me kindness, show kindness unto my family, my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. Our life for yours. Hallelujah. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. To God be the glory. Now, we know the story about this woman called Rahab. Rahab is a popular name, person, character in the New Testament. We know about her. We preached about Rahab. But something is happening here I want you to understand. God had spoken that Jericho had been given to Israel, and they were going to invade the land. But before the invasion started, they had to spy the land. And Joshua selected two men to go into Jericho to spy the land. And when these two men came into Jericho, they came in secretly, praise the Lord. But when they entered Jericho, somehow their secret had spilled out. And the king of Jericho knew that some spies had come in. How he was able to know, we don't know. But somehow, the secret leaked out that spies had come in. And when the spies came into Jericho, the first place they went to in Jericho was the house of Rahab. And Rahab happened to be a professional harlot. And when they entered her house, the Bible says the king sent to Rahab's house. And he said to Rahab, hey, Rahab, there are some men that came in here last night, and we were told that they were in your house. And when they came to Rahab, Rahab said, of a truth, you are correct. They came here. They were actually here. But the truth is, they didn't stay for long. After some time, they went through and then they went out. As a matter of fact, if you send people now, you might still find them on the way. So she sort of like deceived the people, and the people started chasing after nothing. Meanwhile, the people they were looking for were hidden in the roof of her house. This is a harlot. I want you to understand, this is a harlot. The people she was hiding in her house were messengers of God. They were God's messengers. And this was the king's men talking to her. But you see, she feared the king of kings more than the king of the land. She said, they are not here. Meanwhile, they are up in the roof. So as she was talking to them, those two spies were. No noise. Don't sneeze. Don't cough. Amen? Because if you do that, the king's guys will hear you. They were up there. And then the moment those guys left, she came down and brought them down. Said, now, I know that God has given you this land. How did a harlot know that? How did a harlot woman know all these things? How did she know that God split the Red Sea? How did she know that Israel dealt with Og and the king of Bashan? How did she know all that? She's supposed to be a harlot. I mean, that should not be what she should be concerning herself with. But this woman had all the information. I want to give you a different picture of who Rahab is today. Sometimes you see certain people, you may just look at them and criticize them. But let me tell you something. There are certain people that God will use. It will amaze you who they are. It will amaze you who they are. God strategically sent this man to this woman's house. And when they have received these people, what she was doing was she was risking her life for the sake of the business of this man. Because for you to harbor spies who are coming to destroy the land, that means you also, you are joining with them. If they are going to kill those spies, they must kill you along with them. But this woman did not care. She risked her life for the sake of the business that this man came for. And she stood strong and lied and said, they are not here, while they were in her house. Not only did she lie, she sent the people in a different way. And the moment the people went out, the Bible says the gates of the city were locked. So in short, there was no way for them to even return back that day. They had locked the gates. Meanwhile, the spies were inside. They had gathered all their information they wanted to gather, and they were going to leave. The woman called them. She said, I know that God has given you this land. I want to partake of what you are going to partake of. There is something you are about to enter that I want to enter with you. Even though I have no dealings with you and your God, because I am a Jericho woman and I am a harlot, but I want to connect with your God. I want to change my status today and connect with the God that you know. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest things that powers any relationship is sacrifice. Sacrifice is one of the greatest things that powers relationship. Any meaningful, lasting relationship is powered by sacrifice. Any meaningful, lasting relationship is powered by sacrifice. You cannot have a deep relationship that you will not see sacrifice there. If you see a couple, a husband and wife, who are so committed and deep in their marital relationship, go check it. A lot of sacrifice is involved. Go check it. You cannot see a happy, truly happy couple that there's no sacrifice involved. The deeper the relationship, the more the sacrifice. And if you are not willing to sacrifice, then your relationship will be shallow. God is interested in sacrificial relationships. That is why the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave, what? His only begotten son. He was in need of a fellowship. He was in need of a relationship. And he knew that for any relationship to be solid, sacrifice is involved. If you want to get married and you want somebody to really, really love you, what you're actually telling yourself is you better be ready to love that person. And it will take sacrifice on your part. Many a times, people think about what people will do for them in relationships. They don't think about what they are going to do for the other person. Say, I want a man that will love me. I want to marry a man that will love me, take care of me, just do, just carry me. Yes. But most times, you don't really put to the table what you are going to do. It's most of the times you are thinking about yourself on the receiving side. Say, when it's time for Valentine, buy me flowers, take me here, take me there. That's all they think about. But you see, every deep relationship is powered by high-level sacrifice. It's there. Because it's not every time you really feel like playing love. I'm telling you, it's not. Sometimes you're just not interested in that. Just holding hands and going up and down. That at that time, at that point in time, that's not really what you want to do. Amen. I'm not really ready for this right now. But you see, but because of the relationship, you have to sacrifice for it. And he said, that is what makes for deep and lasting relationship. It's sacrifice. I just want to bring that out from this woman's story. She wanted to connect with a God. But you see, how do you connect with a God that you are so far from? And how do you make that God to step into your situation? She said, I will sacrifice. The moment she saw those men, she knew that her time had come. May you realize your own timing. Yeah. I said, may you realize your own timing. Yeah. Now, when you see, when those times come, that is the time for you to key into it. When she saw those men, she said, these guys have reached here. Okay, I know what I'm going to do. I will embrace them at the risk of my own life, which is exactly what she did. You see, when God is looking for people to affect their lives, when he's looking for people to come into or step into their situation, he looks for people who are willing to sacrifice for him. In Psalms 50, he said, verse 5, he said, gather together unto me my sins, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I want you to turn to Psalms 50. Everybody turn there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have you found it? He said, gather my saints. Gather who? Come on, talk to me. Gather who? Gather my saints together unto me. Who are those ones? Those that have made a covenant with me. How? By sacrifice. They have made a covenant. They have made a covenant by sacrifice. And you know, of course, that covenant relationships are the deepest type of relationship you can have. And he says, you enter into it by sacrifice. If it doesn't cost you anything, it's not going to go anywhere. If you want to relate with God and you want God to relate with you, you must put something down. You must put something down for God to be able to step into your circumstance.
Yeah, I don't know what you are believing for here today, but I believe that God will step into your situation. That is why I am here. That is why I'm here. I am here for somebody who is expecting God to answer a prayer in their lives. I am here for somebody who is expecting God to meet them at the point of their need. God will give you a miracle. But it says, gather them. Who are those? Those who have made a covenant. By what? By sacrifice. I want to see how desperate you are for that thing you are asking for. I want to see how desperate, how far are you willing to go for the thing you are believing for? Are you getting what I'm saying now? You see, because God wants, you see, God said, Jesus said, do not cast your pearl before the swine. Pearl are precious things. For God to give you anything precious, he has to know that you really, really want that thing. And the way to show him you is the sacrifice you are willing to make for it. That's what makes God to answer people's prayer. Because he sees how much you are willing to put down for it. This woman was willing to risk her life. And look at this. The moment the men were going, she begged them, said, please, when you come to take over this town, please remember me. See what I have done for you. I have sheltered you. I have risked my life for you. I have given you certain vital information that you need. Please, don't forget me. The men were going. As they were about to go out through her door, she said, hey, wait. It's not only for me. It's not just for me. What I want God to do in my life is not just to benefit only me. I want something to happen to me that will benefit my father, that will benefit my mother, that will benefit my brothers, that will benefit my sisters. I want God to touch me, and the touch will overflow to everybody that knows me. Some of you hear what God will do for you. Your neighbors will rejoice because of that. Your family will rejoice because of that. Your brothers, your sisters, they will rejoice because of that. Your father that gave birth to you will rejoice because of what God will do in your life. Can I hear a living amen from somebody here? She said, don't just save only me, save all these people. And that's a harlot. You may think that a harlot is one hardened woman who doesn't care about anything. Some of them, like Rahab, are people that have heart. They have compassion. And I say, I beg, when you come, just carry only us. Take me and my little child. Let's go. No. She remembered her family. And that's why I believe that God sent them to her. If this woman is blessed, she will share it around. If I bless her, she will share it around. Yeah, maybe some people who are more righteous than Rahab was, but God didn't send them to her, send them to those people. Why? Because some people, they are so righteous that they conserve everything to themselves. People like that, when they are in the church, when they are blessed, church does not feel it. You give the testimony, but we don't see the result. So when they are testifying, say, oh, I want to thank God because God really blessed me. In fact, last week I got a very big financial breakthrough. I want to give God the praise. They will go and sit down. They would never say how much it is. Because they may be thinking, maybe pastor is calculating that, okay. They say, £200,000. Okay, to God be praised. Yes. So he has calculated how much you come to the church. So he said, we will not mention the figure involved. So that the day you come to give one small envelope and say that this does to glorify God, nobody knows what is happening. No. God wants to bless somebody who, without the pastor knowing, can make a difference in the church. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? When you have a heart to sacrifice, you will be the person that God will be looking for. Amen. I say you will be the woman that God is looking for. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? That's how God operates. Who will easily share this thing around? Who will be the person that when this thing gets to him, can easily share it around? That's the person that will get it. That's why in the parable of the sower, when the man that had five made five more, one, two, made two more, then the one that had one kept it and hid it. When the master came, he collected from him and gave it to the one that had plenty. That's what happened. Parable of talent, sorry. That's what happens. He said, go to that woman's place because I know that through her, the whole of her family will be saved. And what happened? On the day that Jericho was taken. Amen? She said, what will you give me to show that you really honor me and not destroy me? He said, take this token. The day we are coming, let this token hang down from your window. God will put a sign on your life. Yeah. I said, God will put a sign on your life. Yeah. He said, take this token, hang it from your window. The day we are coming, when we see that token, we know that that's where your house is. Don't forget to say, I will not forget. One day, I was just thinking about it. I remember I just saw a picture of that red thing hanging down Rahab's window. And nobody knew what she was doing. People may even mistake what she was doing. Rahab, you have targeted somebody again. I mean, you know that that's her house, and the red cloth is hanging down. So that when they are passing, they know that that's your house, but well done. Don't bother whether people misread what you are doing. You know what you are doing. Do the thing that God asks you to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? When you get busy for God in the church and you are walking, people may mistake you. Say, you want pastor to see you and say, you are. Don't bother. The day that reward comes, is God that will reward. When they came that day, she packed all her family into her house. That day, when the whole walls were coming down, one section remained standing. Just one section. All the walls came down. Just one section of the wall of Jericho remained standing. In that house was a harlot called Rahab. She was a harlot, but her heart was for God. And God looked beyond her dirty ways, and God reached out into her heart and brought her out of where she was. It was because of her act for God that God made her a citizen of Israel. For me, you may be as bad as anything, but if you can have a heart for God, God will reach into your heart and bring you to a place whereby all your wicked ways will pass out from your life. That's why many people you see who you call bad, if you give them an opportunity in the house of God, it will amaze you what they can do for God. It's sacrifice. The more you are willing to put down, the more God is willing to take you further. Every relationship that you know that will last, sacrifice is at the root of it. And when you see beyond yourself to the next person, you will know what to do. When you see beyond yourself to what the church is going through, you will know what to do. What you have, God didn't give it for your sake. He gave it to you as a custodian to use it for his work. That's why if you go through, I don't have the time, but if you go through that passage, you will hear every time God mentions Rahab, he will say, because she hid the messengers of God. Because she hid the messengers of God. Because she hid the messengers of God. In other words, the real thing that she did that is attracting God to her life is her role in making sure that the people that are sent fulfill their mission. She made sure that these guys fulfill their mission. And let me tell you something, that's a very great job. She was not the one that carried out the mission, but she made sure that the people who are sent, they did their job. You may be in a church like this. You may never have opportunity to preach or handle microphone. But if you can make sure that those who are preaching do their job well, God will regard you as though you did the job. God will bless you as though you are the one that did the preaching. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? That is the thing that gets the job done. So if you want God to step into your situation, you step into his own first. You may have quoted all the scriptures that you are taught, recited all the steps, gone through all step one, step two, step three, This is the final step of all. Make a sacrifice. Take your alabaster box and break it. And say, God, I'm everything I have, I've laid it down. You see what God will do for you. Doesn't matter how many times you have prayed, add sacrifice to your prayer. It always gets the job done. Add sacrifice to your prayer. You can wake up and pray, maybe 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Wake up 12 midnight. Amen. Wake up 2 a.m. in the morning. In the midst of cold, pray that time. Sacrifice your sleep and pray. You see God. It looks to me as God will wait for that worst situation and see how you will react before he operates. That's how God does. Now, how do you explain a woman like Hannah, who believed and prayed for a child for many years and no child came? But the year she said, if you give me a child, I give that child to you. That was the year she took him. How do you explain that? She has been praying for a child many years. All kinds of prayer. Dry fast, very fast. So prayer of faith, prayer of Disney, confession at Disney. All kinds of prayer. Intercessory prayer, this prayer, all. No result. So what is this? But the year she said, God, if you give me that child, I give it back to you. Oh, God said, now you are ready. Boom. She became pregnant. God is attracted by sacrifice. God is attracted by sacrifice. And let me tell you something. You know, women, childbearing for a woman is, as far as I'm concerned, number one priority in their lives. Every other thing is leading to that purpose. I told my wife, I said, I believe that the reason why women marry is just to bear children. Because that bearing of a child is so vital to them. If it doesn't happen, it's like they are not alive. And that's how God made them. That was why when Hannah was asking for a child, the husband was saying, am I not better to you than 7 sons? It's a lie. You get the point? He said, you are not. You don't understand what is happening. You are not better than 7 sons. How can you say that? You get what I'm saying? How can you tell me that? I need a child. Everything about them is, and for a woman, after waiting for so long, and her mate is there, you know, messing her up, then I'll now have that child, and you say I should give it to God. That is a big sacrifice. But because she was able to say that, God said, you have it. And after that, God gave her 5 more. God gave her how many more? 5 more. That's the power of sacrifice. God asked me to talk to somebody here today. You need to put something down for what you are believing God for. You may have prayed, yes. You may have studied, yes. You may have confessed, yes. But there is something that needs to go from you for what you need to come to you. And until that thing goes, what you're expecting will not come to you. That's why I'm here today. That's why I'm here today. You have prayed, you have cried, you are even in the midst of prayer now. Pastor told me that you were praying. You will add sacrifice to your prayer. Then you see if God will not open that door for you. He's waiting to see how desperate you are for what you need. Anybody can pray as long as it doesn't cost you anything. Wake up in the morning as you are driving. Lord, I thank you because it's coming. Anybody can do that.
But how many people can say, Lord, you do this, I do this for you. That makes all the difference. That's what changes boys to men. A sacrifice that divides boys or girls and women is what you are willing to put down that makes a difference. That's why if you are a leader in any group and you are trying to do something, if you, the leader, don't do it first, it's difficult for the rest to do it, no matter what you say. This is the last thing to do. You have to do this. Eh? You have to do this. But if you don't do it, you say, Oga never do it. Praise the Lord. So it's that sacrifice as a leader to be the one to carry that motivates everybody else to do it. You can't beat sacrifice. You can't beat it. Today, make up your mind to take a step further from your comfort zone and enter an area where you're not comfortable at all and see what God will do for you. That area where you're not comfortable. Ah, no, please, Pastor, don't ask me. Please, don't. That's the area. There are certain things that mean so much to you. God is asking you, I need that from you. Can you give it to him? There are certain things you've already planned to do, and God wants to scatter your plans. Can you allow him to scatter it? Amen. There are certain precious things you have that mean a lot to you. Can you put that at the master's feet and say, God, honestly, I plan to use this thing for something, but with tears and crying, you drop it. That's it. It's in that split second that your life changes. Because through your tears and your crying, yet you are still doing it. That's what pulls God to you. You want to attract God? You want to pull God into a deeper level of work with you? You want God to step into your situation? Do something that he can't refuse. Do it. Do something that God cannot refuse. It works all the time. That's why God showed us by paying the price first. This is the way to do it. And Jesus said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those. You must put something down. That's one area. You see, when you have such a heart that you are willing to let things go, God too will let your own go. You know, people that have an unforgiving spirit, they hardly receive forgiveness from God. Hardly receive. That's why if you don't know how to forgive, better don't offend God. Don't offend him, because he won't forgive you. That's one thing you request from God, and God will check your record. Master, forgive me. Say, check his. How far has he gone in the area of forgiving? You, that somebody will offend you since 1964, you still remember. So you are coming now. It's now you're coming. I remember 1964. 4:30, 4:35. Praise the Lord. Remember, very dangerous people. But on a very serious note, God is speaking to somebody here this morning. You are just one step away from your next story. Just one step. Today, take a step of faith. Do something that will hurt you for God and see what God will do for you. When you inconvenience yourself for God, God will make things convenient for you. That's what God asked me to say to somebody today. You're going to take a step of faith and say, Lord, I'm believing for something like this. But according to your word to me today, I take a step of faith to release something that is precious to me, for me to take the ultimate thing I desire from you. What is your next area of joy? What is that area of joy you are expecting God to perform in your life? Inconvenience yourself for God. Take a step and say, God, I do this for you. Rahab did it. It changed her story. She didn't have to. She could have rejected the spies and said, please, I don't want trouble. I'm doing my business. This time. I don't want any trouble. Please, I beg, just go look for somewhere else. But no, she inconvenienced herself for God. God changed her story. When Jericho was destroyed and burning, she was embraced in a new family. A new future started for her. For you here today, something new will start in your own life. Stand with me.